The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Hi, I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker of Century 21, Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm here with my co-host, husband, fellow realtor, Pat Devaney.
Good morning, Jackie. How are you?
Terrific. How are you?
Very good today.
And for the third week in a row, we have Scott Frazier, interior designer. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me back. I'm thrilled to be back today and do a hat trick, you know, third time on deck. So I'm very happy and honored to be back.
And we're happy and honored to have you back. Thank you for joining us. We have a full-time real estate office with many experienced realtors. We have been appraising, listing, selling real estate for over 40 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or give us a call at 570-344-6724.
We're here on the Real Estate Roundtable every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. View our listings or search the MLS listings by going to jruddy.com, J-R-U-D-D-Y.com, where we also have all our archive radio shows, and jruddy.com is mobile friendly. Remember to like us on Facebook at Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Okay, Scott Frazier, interior designer, tell me a little bit about yourself and your contact info, please.
Okay, I've been a designer for 15 years. I have my own business. I worked for Ethan Allen for 11, studied design at Marywood. I've done multiple houses in our area. I've done houses in California, North Carolina, Virginia, all over the place. And it's, you know, it's what I love to do every day. And one of the things that my business also incorporates is refurbishing older pieces if they have value and they matter to you. They're pieces that I take and redo, not strip, but like redo. I call it a 40-year facelift. And the charge, also opposed to having something stripped and redone, is minimal.
But you're saving,
saving the piece and saving the patina. You're not taking the value away. Right. The original patina remains. My contact information is 570-575-4854, and my email is fraz69b@yahoo.com.
Well, you've gone to do a lot of different places, and I'm sure a lot of different homes, and
yes,
different people and personalities.
Correct.
And things like that. Okay, so you know how to look at something, and you have an eye for it, and you have a skill, because it takes a lot of skill and creativity.
Yes.
All right. Now, I just read something, and I couldn't believe
what?
I read it. Wallpaper is back. Is it?
Yes. Well, I'll be really frank about it. Wallpaper never went anywhere. Style of wallpaper changes and evolves, just like everything else in interior design.
Your young buyer today,
yep,
the people that we work with,
yep,
the young people,
right,
first-time home buyers, hate wallpaper.
Because they're probably seeing wallpaper that was put up in the 80s, or, to be real frank about it, they're seeing, if it's current, it's probably incredibly cheap, which means it has that look of a traditional wallpaper, flowers, leaves, you know, a lot of field area, a little bit of subject matter, or it's just a you know, three different color kind of stripe thing. No, you need to get more interesting papers, things that have, think of papers that are better are always natural materials. They make paper that's cork. They make it that is made out of mica, which is like a little stone, and it's all over the whole paper. Woven grasses, knotted grasses, bamboos, there are so many elements, and those things can really change your room and evolve it to make it a much better space than
so
it was.
So is it on four walls? Are they like, or and like, we've actually seen,
yeah,
houses with the ceiling wallpapered.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hands down.
So, all right. What are these wallpapers like? Are they on all four walls or just one wall?
And here is how that, I'm going to answer that question,
right,
because it's how I answer every question design-wise that any client poses to me. My answer for you is different. My answer for every client is different. Every look that I've ever done, created, every space I've ever addressed is different. Every house is different. Every client is different. Therefore, every answer is different.
So it really depends.
Yeah, it depends on how you want the room to look aesthetically, how you want it to function, how you live, what your lifestyle is.
How much light.
And what the house presents.
How much natural light, how much light.
Absolutely. So that's going to change. In for instance, if I went over to Jackie and Pat's house, I might paper two walls and paint the other two. But yet, if I went over to Jess's house, I very well might wallpaper three of them, four of them, or none. It's different for every person. That's why, you know, your designer coming and seeing your space is so important, but also the conversation, the back and forth. Because through that whole thing, I'm information gathering, pulling it out of you.
Well, you're mentioning that every situation is different. Yep. I get that because every style of home is different, like a colonial and a Victorian.
Yes.
So in a Victorian, you would expect it, but not so much in a contemporary kind of home.
That's dependent on the paper. In a Victorian, what your eye might expect would be to see Jacobean florals, things like that.
Right.
You know, maybe a toile going up the stairwell or in the foyer. That would be something your eye would expect to see. Is it right? Depends on if that's what the owner wants. If the owner hates it, it's not right.
Right.
In a current, contemporary, just built home that has really straight lines, you know, let's say the owner really loved Frank Lloyd Wright and modeled something after one of his homes. Sure, you can paper that. That's definitely a spot where I would pick up a paper that's mica. It's all stone. That goes up on that wall.
But I'm hearing expensive when you're saying
those papers do cost more money.
Okay.
But when you think of it, when I do a space for any client, I want that space to be like that for 20 to 30 years. The investment that you put in that, like, what else are you going to put an investment into that's going to last you 20 years? There aren't, that list is not that big. And the one thing it doesn't include, and people drop a ton of money on them, and it frustrates me, probably because my passion is design. They'll drop it on a car in a hot minute. They'll walk into a dealership and throw it on that money on that SUV, that $35,000, you know, Chevy Aztec or whatever. You know, they were hideous. But any of those, like the Envoy, they'll drop $35,000-$40,000, and they're like, oh, that's what it costs. And that thing is worthless in less than a decade. You know, you see them. Go and look and see what a 10-year-old one is. They're worthless. You get no money out of them. Even if it never breaks, it costs you money constantly. Maintenance, gas, blah, blah, blah. I could do your living room. It's that way for 30 years. That's a huge return on your investment. If you broke that down into how much it cost you a day to own it, that's a massive return on your investment.
Plus, you're enjoying it.
Yes,
it's pleasing,
and you love
to
your
eye.
House. You're happy.
Right, you're happy.
Yes.
Right, okay. I'm with you there. Okay, so wallpaper never went out.
No.
All right.
Just the style of it changed.
All right, so what are you seeing in terms of patterns?
Patterns? Again,
it's an individual thing.
Yeah,
okay.
To houses.
Right.
You know, it depends. If somebody said to me, I have a Victorian or I have a Georgian colonial, you know, my house was built in a really European countryside kind of a flavor, I'm going to immediately, you know, and that's what they love as far as looks go, I'm going to go towards toile because that's going to capture that feeling and that flavor.
You mentioned murals before. Mm-hmm. I mean, I used to go into
not murals.
All right.
No.
Did you say something about landscapes?
In artwork, yeah.
All right.
Murals are dead.
Okay.
Murals were so
I was gonna ask
super
about
hot in the 70s
yes.
and 80s.
Yes.
Those are dead. And, you know, I'm
they're
happy.
Not coming back.
They're not coming back. I'm happy they're
there
dead.
There is not
yeah.
a resurrection.
Yeah.
Of, okay, good.
Yeah.
All right.
I dance on that grave.
All right.
Yeah. Glad it's dead. Glad it's dead.
All right. Now, if someone had an older house...
Mm-hmm.
And they were selling an older house. You mentioned Green Ridge in one of our shows.
Yep, because I love Green Ridge.
Yes,
you know.
And right,
gorgeous.
East Scranton. Yep. There's a lot of great older homes in our area, Honesdale, you know, all over. How do you make your older home appeal to a younger buyer?
First of all, I think the house initially has got to appeal to them. Because here's what's going to happen. If it doesn't appeal to them, I feel like they're going to be slapping up Band-Aids to try to make it into something it isn't. And then you end up with a mess. So when I walk into a house, and if I walked into a traditional colonial, Victorian, Georgian colonial, which is my favorite style, but if I walk in there, that's when I walk in there and I step into the den or living room and I see the big, overstuffed, lazy, kind of looking, pillowy sofa. That's hideous. But, you know, in a contemporary environment, it fits a lot more. In that environment, it does not. Because in truth, it could be, you know, many different factors, but maybe the owner doesn't have the type of house that really truly appeals to them, because that style shouldn't be in there because it doesn't work. You can get an older house and put modern elements, modern artwork in it, you know, creating more of an eclectic flavor, which is really where design is. It's eclectic design, and it's catered to the individual. You know, the sets of furniture thing is dead. We don't, you know, the end tables don't match anymore. The nightstands don't match, but they need to blend, complement each other. And when everything works together, think of it like a basketball team or a baseball team or anything like that. Everything has to work correctly to create what you want it to. You know, if you're in basketball and your point guard isn't working out, the rest of the team's going to suffer. It's not going to work. And it's the same idea. So when you're selecting things to put into your home or in your space, yes, they need to represent you. The other question is, does this work with everything else I have? Because if it doesn't, even if you love it, it's wrong. Now, you would speak to me and I might be able to help you find another area for whatever object or piece that is. But if you bring it in there, what you do in truth is you take away any good quality, any aesthetic beauty out of the pieces that actually do work together.
Because you're just stuck on that.
Yeah, you just bump them down a notch. Okay. Because there's a piece that doesn't.
So blend, not so much match.
Yeah, blending.
Blending.
Using contrast, using line, rhythm, theme, all those things have to be integrated into a space to make it work well.
Okay. Well, we're headed towards the break. We're going to talk a lot more about this after break. Scott Fraser, interior designer, and your contact info, please.
My contact number is 570-575-4854. And my email is frez69b@yahoo.com.
Excellent. Pat, would you like to review a listing, please?
Yes, we have a nice two-bedroom, one-bath home located at 311 North Garfield Avenue in Scranton for only $67,000. Why pay rent when you can build equity? This home is move-in ready. It has a recently remodeled kitchen. It has vinyl siding, a newer gas boiler, a fenced-in level yard with rear alley access, and the taxes are only $1,014 a year total. That's really cheap. So if you're thinking about paying rent, why not look at this two-bedroom located at 311 North Garfield Avenue in Scranton for only $67,000? And that's listed by Jason Thomas of our office.
Thank you, Pat. Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate is seeking realtors for our very, very busy office. If you are ambitious and hardworking, Century 21 Jack Ready is where you need to be. We have a lot to offer, and I'm a very supportive, hands-on broker. Please don't hesitate to call or email me at info@jready.com. Call me, 570-344-6724. Stay with the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. We will be back after a very brief break. The real estate market is extremely active, and you want to make a move, but you don't know where to start, who to call, or how to make it happen. I'm Jackie Ruddy, and I know Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate can lead the way. Our quality service award-winning team will help you with buying and selling a home. Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate has a proven track record and experience you can count on. Lean on us to show you the way. Call 570-344-6724. That's 570-344-6724. Or visit jready.com. That's J-R-U-D-D-Y.com, where homes are open every day, all day long. Also, remember to tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate, Saturdays at 11 a.m. and Sundays at 11:30 a.m. on 94.3 FM, The Talker. You're rejoining the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with Pat Devaney, my husband and fellow realtor.
Good morning, Jackie. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. You're learning a lot of stuff?
I am. This is very interesting to me. We have, for the third week in a row, Scott Fraser, interior designer. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you folks? Glad to be back today for the third time.
We love having you because we're doing well, and we're happy you're with us because we're learning so much.
I know. I noticed, as I was saying before, when we were off the air. Pat is taking notes like a madman. His yellow legal pad is on fire over there.
Yes, he is.
No, Jackie's is.
Yes, well, I'm taking notes too. But first half of the show, we were talking about wallpapers back. It never left.
Never went anywhere. The style evolved and got better.
All right. So wallpaper, you like.
I like it in the right place. There are houses I've done. I would never put an ounce of it anywhere. And then there are places I would. It's indicative to client and the look that they are trying to create. You know, my job is to pull the look out of them if they don't know. If they know, that's easier. And then explain to them what they would select in fabric, finishes, accessories, things like that, and put it together to create what it is they want. That's what I do with it.
Where do you see home design and remodeling trends for 2014? What's going to happen out there? What do you see big? I read in Zillow predicts three big kitchen trends. Here they are. See if you agree or disagree as our interior design expert and pro. They see black countertops,
yes.
Open shelving,
yep.
And dark colors.
I see it, but not in such a blanketed statement.
Okay.
I do see black countertops. I'm seeing a lot of it. It's a big trend right now. The other thing, open cabinetry. Open cabinetry fluctuates in and out. You know, there's a certain amount of time it's in, and then it goes away. And then it's in, and it goes away. Like, if you remember back in the day, when in the 90s, everybody was bleaching their cabinets and doing the pickle
right.
thing.
Yes. Right.
There was a lot of open cabinetry. Remember the plate racks mm-hmm. above the sinks? And there was a lot of that stuff. So that, you know, that has a life that it comes back in and goes back out. But the thing is, it's been closed for quite a while. So it coming back into fashion or style doesn't surprise me. But it's going to be a new take on it, as always.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you take the old classic or idea and you just evolve it. It creates something new.
Well, on break, we also talked. You really, unless someone insists, you really try to stay away from trendy, right?
Right. I'll bring trendy in and some smaller, more inexpensive elements to keep it current. You know, not updated. Updated's a whole different thing. To keep it current. But if somebody wanted something wildly trendy, I would do it for them, of course, but it's not where my mind goes initially, because when I do someone's interior, I expect it to go for the long term. That's always where I think of it going. You know, I want to put it together and have it be that way for 20 to 30 years.
Do you find that a lot of people come to you, they want glamorous kitchen ads?
All over the place, honestly.
House?
I've done every look you could imagine. There's no set, you know,
rule of thumb.
Yeah. More, the thing that people want is more function out of their house. You know, they want the house to function more in the way they live. They want a lot more function out of their kitchens. Big open spaces are a big deal right now, as we all know. You know, the kitchen is open to the family room now. It's one big room. And in truth, the only significant change is when it's built or whatever is a change in flooring. Usually it'll move from tile to wood. And that's how you know that's where the family room began. But when you think of it, it's one large open space now, and it didn't used to be that way. And what that does, it's an ease of living. You know, you flow back and forth easier through that space than you would if there was a wall or a doorway. Plus, it's more open family unity because the walls aren't there. So if mom and dad are in the kitchen doing whatever and the kids are doing homework, you're all in that one space, even though it's larger. It's not separated by walls anymore. So I think it's spaces that are more cohesive, more functional, usable. Style-wise, black countertops, yes. Dark colors, yes. But not dark in terms of, you know, dark, dreary. Dark can be a brighter, or like you want to use it as a dramatic effect to create a more dramatic look within a space. You would use deeper colors. But then you also want to think about doing it, and if it's a new house or you're going to do an add-on, you know, I would probably lean towards putting a large window in that space to open it up so you really get to appreciate the beautiful depth and dramatic feel and flavor of the deep color, the deep, rich color, rather than it just got dark.
And it looks like a cave. And it feels like a cave.
The other key in that is lighting. The one thing I see as a mistake a lot is people don't light their rooms correctly. They don't. You need to have three-point lighting. It has to come from like a ceiling or a high source, not always a ceiling, but a high source, then come down again to around eye level, like when you're standing, and then drop again down to like a sitting level. 3 points. And they need to connect. And that way, that deep color isn't a dank cave anymore because it's lit correctly. So you can appreciate the beauty of the color and what it contributes to the space.
All right, someone has a dark kitchen cabinet.
Yep.
What color goes well with that dark? What's, you know, really rich and beautiful?
Okay, dark kitchen cabinet. By that, you would mean like a cherry or a mahogany or anything?
Yes, exactly.
Many, many times I find that in spaces like that, those wood tones, green and brown, love each other. You know, they marry well. You can take just about any wood stain and pair it with just about any green that's out there, and they're going to look good to your eye. And that goes back to feng shui does that, because in the family and health area, the wood element, well, there it is. Wood. Wood is brown, and the color that's represented in that area is green. That's its key color. But also, to the human being, it goes back to science. There's a lot involved in it, but what it does is when you see green and brown together, the reason it appeals to a human, it flips your mind back to a tree. It's nature.
Nature.
Right.
Okay.
That's what it is.
Got it.
And that's why they look good to a human eye.
Now, a lot of people gravitated towards the white cabinets in recent years.
Yes.
Big thing.
Yes, it is.
White still in?
White is still in.
What colors would you suggest one should focus on with a white cabinetry?
If you have white cabinetry, one of the things that I advise is, in truth, you really want to have white cabinetry with a hang-up glaze. And what that would mean is the cabinetry would be white, and then after it's done, they paint over it with a glaze, and it's all wiped off. But in any recesses or anything like that, or curves, that glaze remains. So that the great thing about that is it gives you two colors in your cabinetry in a very subtle way that your eye all takes in as one. But the great thing is, and it's one of my favorite things that I see in new homes now, and I'm so happy it's here, then you would take it in the island or peninsula. That whole piece is a whole different color. But it doesn't look like a mess because that color is actually over in the cabinetry in those little hang-ups. You pulled it over now.
Okay.
And that opens you up in future decisions because you have two colors now in cabinetry. So when you go to select other things in your house, the days of going, oh, I love that table, but it's not cherry. My cabinets are cherry. I can't buy it. That makes that whole issue gone. It goes away.
So you're saying get two different colors in there?
Always.
Okay.
Always. It makes for a more visually appealing space. It gives you visual variety.
And you can do a lot more with the...
Yeah.
Okay.
It opens up your hands design-wise. You know, you aren't so married to, like, back in the 80s or 70s, the shiny brass thing. You can't put anything else with it. Now you can. You know, but you have to know how to do it.
So what do you think about mixing woods?
Always do it. It's a step in the right direction. And when you think of it, the reason I think, this is my theory on it, and I feel like back in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, we had to make furnishings that were a little bit nicer available to the masses. They had to create suits of furniture. Suits of furniture were all one style, stained all one color. Easier, cheaper to manufacture that way. They could pass that on to the consumer, right? But if you looked at anybody at that in that time period who was wealthy, or you looked at any home that was well designed, done by a designer, go back centuries into 17th century Europe or medieval castles. Think of how those were put together, and they were the wealthiest of the wealthy people, and they were all
different.
Put together eclectically. Yes, think of every room.
Yes.
They were all different. Now, I think what has happened is that idea of that eclectic design to really reflect the individuals who live there is the current and best thing that's ever happened to it. So the mixing woods is definitely a step in the right direction, because when you think of it, the best homes were always done that way.
Good.
Always done that way.
Because my home has a lot of different woods.
But there are things that have to work. You can't slam anything in there, you know?
No.
The colors have to complement one another. They have to, could be a similar line. When you pull any room apart, there's always going to be this thread of continuity that's weaved through that design to make it work well. In many different ways. There's a million different ways, and I would eat up 8 more shows trying to explain it all, but there's many different ways to tie it together so it's really eclectic but looks really polished and well put together.
Okay, and you see this staying with us for a while?
Eclectic design isn't only going to stay, it's going to grow.
Okay.
More and more and more. It's been around forever.
Right. Well, we see things come and go.
That never had.
No.
Just now, again, my feel is now it's more available to mainstream, everyday people. More so. You know, back then it was just available to wealthy people.
Give me a quick story, sum it up quickly for me, a house that you just did some design in. You walked in, the chandelier didn't work,
yeah,
the wall didn't work. Yep. Tell me a little bit about that, and then we'll close out the show.
Okay, very quickly, the house I was referring to was built in 1960. It had a very mid-century modern design to it, which was really hot at that time. A lot of different levels. The house actually had four levels, but it was like a multi-bi-level, you know, split in half. When you walked in the front door, you went up four steps into a massive room that was 45 by 37. Big, big square. Half was a living room, half was a dining room. The dining room was 4 foot higher, so it was actually like a big stage with a really beautiful, it was like a Asian squares kind of arts and crafts flavor, iron wrought railing, which was beautiful and perfect. But the previous owner had put up on the drywall in the back wall of the dining area, which you could see because it was essentially one large room. In this really contemporary mid-century modern flavored house, they did a colonial beaded chair rail and then picture framed molding on the bottom, and then put this massive Baroque Rococo scrolled crystal hanging massive, you know, stole it out of Liberace's garage sale chandelier in the middle of this room with this mid-century modern railing and, you know, the different levels. And that was bad. So the one thing, the lighting we changed, but the solution for the wall was, they were a young couple and she said to me, we don't want to tear it off. We just, you know, we redid all the bathrooms. They had to be updated, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to go through construction again and the expense. The way to do it was actually to just paint it all one solid color to modernize it, because then it unifies it. It gives it a monochromatic flavor, and it lets the classic line stay in there. So what that does, in truth, by keeping it and painting that one wall with that detail all one color, you pulled that mid-century modern 70s, 60s Brady Bunch flavor right out of it by bringing a classic element in. But you had to take the classic element and give it a modern edge to make it work.
See, and you did that, and yes, you made it easy, whereas somebody else was probably, oh
yeah, they
my
would
God.
Have went for construction and ripped
right?
it all yeah, out.
Yeah, they made it really hard.
Fortune.
Yeah.
Did you sell the chandelier back to Liberace?
No, honey, he's dead. He's gone. Yeah, he's gone. It's in the back seat of your car.
Thank you. Yeah. Is that my gift?
Yes, it is. That is my gift to you, and it just keeps on giving.
All right. Thank
you. But I mean,
for
you know, there are spaces where that would be the perfect chandelier. That just wasn't that space. That's
all right.
It.
Very good. Excellent right. discussion with
you,
Scott. 3 weeks in a row. Your contact info, please.
570-575-4854 is my phone, and my email is frez69v@yahoo.com.
Thanks.
Thank you so much. It was a blast.
Glad to have you. Very good.
Thank you.
All right. I'm going to talk about a listing. How would you like to make $20,000 a year from a property? What do you think? Would you like to?
That would be great. That's not the only money I'm making, though, right?
No. This is just
I'm going to have to start selling off stuff, and yeah.
This is just an investment property. If you would, we have a great investment property.
Have the braces taken off my kid. Sorry, Josh. You're going to have to get those over. Go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
That was good.
But that would be fantastic. As added income, 20 grand? Who wouldn't want that?
Just keep going.
If you would, we
have a great investment property with 6 units located at 48 Lincoln Avenue in Carbondale for only $124,000. This building is completely occupied, mostly with long-term tenants. This building has a newer roof, a newer furnace, and is within walking distance of downtown Carbondale. The building has 5 2-bedroom apartments and 1 1-bedroom apartment, and it is Section 8 approved. So if you're looking for a good investment property, give us a call about 48 Lincoln Avenue in Carbondale, a 6-unit building for only $124,000, and that is listed by Jason Thomas of our office.
Remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 or Sunday at 11:30 a.m. to listen to more of the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21, Jack Grady Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Hi, this is Jackie Ruddy from Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Is real estate on your mind? It's on ours 24/7. Whether you're buying, selling, investing, or in need of an appraisal, you have questions, we have answers.
Thinking of buying or selling a house and have questions? Tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable, hosted by locally owned and operated Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on Saturday mornings at 11 and Sunday mornings at 11:30.